Blog Talk Radio.
This Power and Love conference was something
to something new to North Carolina. We've been, I know everybody in North Carolina has been wanting this to come, and we've been praying, and I've been bugging the Fire and Love Conference by calling them every so often, telling them, please bring it, you know. And finally, one day, out of the blue, I looked on there and said the Power of Love is coming to Wilmington. I was like, what? So I went ahead and signed up as fast as I could get on there. I just signed up, and I was like, you know, I told my wife about it. She said, well, let me think about it. She said, you can go by yourself. Let me think about it. Maybe about a week or two later, she decided to sign up and go with me, and I thought that was cool. But this conference has went all over the United States. I think it went overseas. I'm not sure. But
I know they've been Brazil.
They've been where?
Brazil.
Brazil? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So they have been coming out of the United States, but it has touched a lot of people. A lot of people got healed during this conference. They got healed out in the street. And it's kind of unique. Now, Chuck, can you touch in, tell us how it really affected you and what pulled you to go to this conference?
Well, I was pulled to go to the conference because in August of last year, 2013, I had got introduced to the Power and Love type atmosphere and groups, and it was just never close enough for us to go to. So I watched a lot of stuff on YouTube, and like you, when I saw it was in North Carolina, I just had to go. Because I'm sure you can attest to the fact that being there is a lot different than watching it on YouTube. And so, we loaded up, me and my wife. It was the first time she ever got to go see anything like that as well. And, it was phenomenal. It was crazy. We saw miracles. We got to meet so many people that have the same DNA about street ministry and about living like Jesus every day, just giving it to the public as you go. And that was the great thing, because you don't find a lot of people like that in normal culture. I mean church culture or Christianity. And, I was impacted mostly just by the teaching, because the teaching was so biblical. And, they just come with a heart of let's love people. And that's where they get the power and love from. And my wife and myself were just deeply touched. We cried at times. We laughed at times. And then to just really meet people on the streets, talk to people, and watch them get impacted by heaven. And when you see stuff like that, you get addicted real fast. So kind of our quick experience of the Power and Look Conference itself.
Amen, amen. Now, Mark, how did you get caught into going to this conference? Did you just see it online, or somebody told you about it? How did that happen to you?
I'm kind of like the newbie here. So if anybody in the audience is like, man, there's no way I could go out and do kind of like what Todd White does, step out of your box kind of thing. I'm the guy you can identify with, because this is totally new for us. But we had just been feeling called, like we've seen some stuff about Todd White, the movie by Darren Wilson called The Holy Ghost. If you haven't seen that yet, there's also Father of Lights. There's a whole series of them. And that movie really inspired us to see what it's like to take the church like outside the walls, which is kind of the theme of the whole Power and Love ministry, is taking the church outside the walls. Because really, you know, what we realize is that 80% of America does not go to church. So we might have great growth in our church, we might have great ministries, great worship music, but only 2 out of 10 people are actually being part of that. So we really need to get outside those four walls. And we've been feeling just really, like after watching those movies, then we started researching Todd White, started looking at some of the YouTube videos. And at the same time all this was happening, our church was going through a big transition. And we were actually kind of, it's almost like a split, but we're also planning a church in a theater where we're actually out kind of in the secular world. And all this was happening at the same time that we found out about the Power and Love Conference. And we couldn't believe it was going to be in Wilmington, which is where my daughter goes to school. So it's like 2-hour drive for us. So we're like, man, we are definitely in that deal. So we signed up for that. We wanted to go learn how to do this, taking the church outside the four walls. And it was very transformational for us. It was an amazing experience. And it wasn't something that you just go to a conference, you learn some stuff, and then you just kind of tuck it in your tool belt. you know, check it off the list. It's something that you use every single day. And it has just been amazing. We've had so many great testimonies while we were there. But since then, even, it's just been the number of testimonies is continuing to increase. So for us, it was really a really cool experience. The thing I really liked about it was that it wasn't just sitting in the lectures all day. They would do some teaching, and then they'd send us out on the streets. And then we'd come back, and we'd do testimonies about what happened. And just hearing the testimonies of the other people, as well as what you experienced, was so amazing. I thought that was really the best part. But just getting out in the street, and the way they did it, because people were new at this, and other people were experienced. So they'd have the experienced people stand up in the front and raise their hand and say, hey, I'm kind of comfortable doing this. I'll be like a mentor. And folks like my wife and I would be like kind of nervous about it. And we'd go join up with one of these folks that had done it before. And we'd go out in teams of three or four or five and go out for 2 hours and then come back and share our testimony. So that was an awesome idea, because probably if Lori and I would have just gone out alone, whatever you need to do, you just go do your normal thing, and you look for opportunities to minister. And I know Lori and I probably would have gone out, had lunch, never said anything to anybody, and came back and listened to the other testimonies. So the fact that we got paired up. So Stan, you were our first kind of mentor, you and your wife, Stacy. We had some amazing experiences. And Chuck, you and Cherie were our other mentors. So you guys were like the experienced ones, kind of showing us the way. It was just a really, really awesome experience. So we had a great time.
It's kind of unique, because I think any time when anybody goes out, you have a nervousness. I mean, I know I've even listened to Pete Sombrero, which is a minister. He does healing all over the United States, all over the world. And he'll tell you right when he starts to do his minister and out in public over thousands of people, he's nervous. And all the things that run through your mind, like everybody else, maybe this won't work. Maybe that won't work. Maybe nothing will happen. But the Lord knows this, and he still uses you for that vessel. And, you know, just like me and Chuck, we was probably nervous when we was taking y'all out. We was like, man, you know what, we're going to show y'all something might not happen, you know. But that's just the way it is. We all have that. And one of the big things that I think, you know, puts on people that have experiences ahead is that, nothing's bothering them, and everything's going to be perfect, but it's really not. You know, we're still experiencing the same thing y'all are. We just, you know how to walk in this certain walk, but, you know, we're just hoping and praying that things will fit the way it is, and a lot of times the Lord will show up. And one thing that I did notice during this Power and Love training out in the street was that when you was out there, the Lord showed up. He just showed up in these situations. It wasn't like, you know, all time. It's just like when you was there in front of that person, it's like the Lord would show off to these people. Healings would happen. Things would happen. Just if you show up to these people, that's when he comes in. He's wanting to bring them to the flock. He's wanting that. But one thing we've got to do is get ourselves out of the way. And I'm guilty. I put myself in the way sometimes too, and sometimes I don't. So, you know, we're all guilty of that sometimes. But that's cool.
One thing I wanted to say is, like, courage isn't courage without the presence of fear, you know? So it's like there's always, like, that fear that you got to push through. But it's like the thing is, you don't give it place in your mind. And the thing is, the Lord is right there all the time, constantly surrounding you, you know? And it's so cool to see him just take over in a situation, and him, like, his presence just falls. And I've seen people just immediately start smiling that had just the worst demeanor. That, you know, a lot of times I would go up to people, I mean, not at Power of Love, but, you know, just in life, I'll go up to people sometimes just because they look like they need a lift in their spirit, you know, and the Lord always meets you right there.
Yeah, you know, the main thing is that they taught us was about love, you know, and they even said that they wanted their ministry to be called Love and Power, not Power and Love, because love is the most important thing. But Love and Power was already taken by some other group, so they couldn't have it. So they went with Power and Love, but they emphasized love being the most important thing. And so when you're out, you know, don't feel like, you know, you feel like you have to just go for, you know, miraculous healings. And I mean, it's sometimes that happens. But the main thing is just stepping outside wherever you are in your comfort zone, just stepping out one more step and letting the Lord meet you there and just loving on that person. And even if it's just an encouraging word for that person, then you can claim victory for that particular interaction, you know. And every time you're going to step out a little bit further and you know, but don't feel like, you know, you have to go out and be a Todd White on day one. And in case anyone in the audience doesn't know who Todd White is, he's been a Christian for about 10 years. But prior to that, he was an atheist. He was a drug addict for 22 years. I mean, he just gets up and talks about his past and how horrendous it was. And he had an amazing encounter with the Lord, who completely transformed his life. And for the last 10 years, he's been living without guilt, without fear, and just loving the Lord. Like, I mean, he is the example of loving the Lord with all your, you know, all your heart, and living that out in his life. So if you don't know who that is, just go to YouTube and look at some of his street ministry and just see how he works. And that is the real Todd White. It's not a put on. I mean, we got to know him, we got to hear his heart, he got to share so much during that 3-day period that we could really see that he was authentic and this is really who he is. And so he's trying to be like Jesus, and we're all trying to be like Jesus, and we're all at different places. You know, most of us are just living, trying to survive life on our own and not really getting into ministry. And so this is new for us. And so as we step out just a little bit at a time, the Lord meets us, and then it gives us the boldness to step out a little bit further each time, I mean, a little further into the water, right? So that's the main thing is love. And we had so many testimonies of just simply loving on people and the amazing difference that made. So it was just an awesome experience.
Yeah, that weekend we had Todd White, Paul Hazel, and we had Tom Latolo. They were both speakers there, and we had a guy that would play the piano and stuff, and he was real good too. And you know, even Bob, he actually specializes in prosthetic stuff, and he prophesied, teach you how to prophesy, how God used him to prophesy over people. And that's one thing that I really like too, is the way Bob taught about prophesying over folks, and how God used him for many different things and touched many a person through his prophecies and stuff. And that's one thing that I love Todd White and him talking about all the things that he did. It was great, and I really loved his. I mean, it seemed like when Todd would talk, it's like the Holy Spirit would hit you. You know the Holy Spirit was on this guy. There wasn't no doubt about it. And when he would step into the center there, you could just feel, you know, Holy Spirit on him. And when he would speak, it just touch you. Even watching his programs, it touches you. But Bob was another guy. He would actually prophesy over people. And I saw him prophesying over people, and they would just shake. And, you know, the Lord was just speaking through this guy's mouth, and you could see things happen. And Bob was a pretty cool guy too. And I mean, prophecy, I did that, but not to the extent that this guy has. And he really touched home on things that I was looking for. And I was really amused with some of the things that he was talking about, and what he was talking about about Wilmington and the college, and all the things that he was talking about was going to happen around there was pretty awesome. But it's just awesome to have people like it come into your community and teach the church to go outside the walls, you know. Very awesome. But
I just wanted to add to what you're saying, and then I'm sure Chuck has something to share too. But I agree. This Bob Hazlett, who taught on the prophetic word, to me that was something that I'd never felt that I had that gift or whatever. But he really showed us how to, I mean, it wasn't just about him prophesying over everybody, which he's like really good at this, but he was equipping us to be able to do that as well. And you know, even if it's just something very simple, and he had us practice while we were there in the conference on each other. Well, you'd pick a stranger that you didn't know, and you start prophesying. And it's kind of scary because I'm always afraid I'm going to get to the end of my sentence and I'm not going to have anything to say. I'm going to go blank, you know, and then you're going to feel really dumb, you know. And so he had us do this exercise where we would get with a stranger and just simply say, when I see you, you remind me of, and you pick an animal, and just the first animal that pops into your head. And then when you say it, it might sound funny, if like you remind me of a lion or something, right? It might sound funny, but then you ask the Lord, well, why did I say lion, you know? And you just start to drill down a little bit. Oh, because you have a spirit of, you know, you're a bold in the Lord, and you I want to attack the enemy or whatever. You would just start drilling down and getting more and more detail. And what was amazing is that the reaction of the person, like, you'd be dead on every time, and it was like, wow. You know, I thought I was making this up myself, but it was amazing how you started to be able to distinguish between your own thoughts and the thoughts that were coming from the Lord. And I noticed when we were out on the streets, if you just started prophesying over someone about, and the whole point of the prophecy is to just see that person as God sees them. It doesn't matter what they're currently doing, what their current situation is. You see sort of the end of, like, you sort of see what God's plan is for their life, and you just start proclaiming that. And it was extremely powerful. In fact, to me, I was surprised that that was more powerful than praying for someone's healing or something like that. I mean, that was amazing to see the reaction on their face when you start doing that. So I never realized how amazing of a tool that is to use to show people that God is real and that he has a plan for their life, you know. And yeah, I agree. That was an amazing aspect of it that I didn't expect. I was expecting Todd White to teach us about how to do street ministry and all the stuff that he does. But that was a whole side of it that was really even better than than the first part, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, Chuck, tell me how this conference touched you and what it helped you in your walk with the Lord.
Well, I like you. I'm a Bob Hazlett fan, man. I really went for Bob Hazlett. Everybody loves the rock star Todd White because he's on all the movies and stuff, and I love his testimony and I love what he teaches. And just to touch on the prophetic thing, Paul wrote that it's better to prophesy than any other gift that's available. And our fear is we think, we've been taught in America that if we get it wrong, we're dead. God's going to strike us dead. He's going to beat us down. And a gift is like anything else. You grow in it. So it's stepping past the fear, like's already been said, and just going for it, knowing that God's happy that you're trying and trying to grow in something. And like Mike was saying, man, when you're out on the streets, miracles are fun. But when the prophecy goes out over somebody and they're left standing in tears and you know that God has hit them in the heart, and it had to be God because there's no way I could know that stuff. You know that person's changed forever. So seeing stuff like that, like how it affected me is like I went out on I really didn't go out on an outreach. Everybody was kind of getting comfortable. So the ones that thought they were seasoned were all of a sudden not needed. So it was just me and my wife, but we ended up in a Ruby Tuesday, and Mike and them were there. They were with another group. And our waiter, we were loving on him real good. We were talking to him a good bit, and I kept hearing stuff in my heart over this guy. So, and Mike happened to walk over when we tipped him huge. Like, we gave him a big tip, just blessed him. And he come back, and then I started releasing the word in my heart over him, and he sat at the edge of the table and cried. This is a waiter inside of Ruby Tuesday, inside of a restaurant. There was no miracle, not a arm growing out or a leg growing out, but there was a miracle in that God encountered this guy at work one day, and now his life has to deal with this moment the rest of his life. And he got impacted by God. So that's the biggest thing the conference did for me, because I've listened to all the teachings, and I've heard them before on YouTube, but the fact that now you take that teaching out into the street, and then you start seeing it actually work. And that's, so this guy got wrecked, but Chuck also got wrecked because there's a young college kid in front of me crying because God used me to touch him. So my life changed just as much as his life has changed. Does that make sense? So it's just
it's just
an application of what we do. You see how God touches people, and I don't know how else to say it. You just become an addict to watch people encounter Jesus, and you can't help but.
Yeah. That's awesome. But
you just get connected to the life of God. That's what makes Christianity so awesome. It's the impartation of the divine nature of God. And it's not religion, it's life. It's like the divine life of God that comes into you. And it just, you're never the same. I mean, it's just life. And so often we make ministry about, like, doing this miracle or doing that miracle, but it all really boils down to the life of God and walking with Jesus and just letting his love flow through you.
That's awesome. Yeah, the one thing that really brought me strictly to the power and love is back many years ago when I was floating around and didn't think, you know, the healing ministry was actually in Christianity anymore. I thought it died a long time ago. I thought some of these people on TV was all fake. They always all paying people to come up here and fall down and stuff for $50, and that's just the way I looked at it. So one day I was watching Todd White on YouTube, and at the time I did Reiki and all that stuff, which I'm completely out of that now and all that stuff. But at the time I thought that's the only power of God was working that I thought at that time. So I saw Todd White on there. I thought, man, there's some real stuff going on with this dude. And all of a sudden I started getting into his testimonies and all of his stuff and seeing his healings. And one day I was listening to one of his things on YouTube, and Holy Spirit hit me from him, and it just started changing me, man. And I'm telling you, this guy is really used for the right reasons to turn everybody to God. And I mean, I'm not saying he's the only guy out there. There's plenty of guys out here that the Lord is using to this day. It's really touching a many person, but he is one of the guys that's really touching, I'll say, the teenagers. The teenagers really, really get pulled towards him because he kind of fits into the era, the way he looks and the way he his persona is really touches the teenagers. And I think that's one of the main things that we need today is get the youth to the Lord, because they need him more than ever right now because of the way the world is at this time. But he really touched me, and a lot of things that I saw that he did, I didn't think Christians could do that anymore. I was like, you know, man, this is kind of weird. There's a real Christian actually doing what Jesus did. And it kind of opened my whole eyes, and that was back 2 or 3 years ago. And I've grown since then, changed. I mean, it's been pretty awesome. But the thing of it is that, you know, he uses all these people to bring us in through there. But after you grow in the healing ministry and all that stuff, you move on to other things like prophetic words and all that stuff. And you just grow. I mean, it's like when you go to college, you go to anything like it, you grow in your knowledge. It is just not one thing, it's many things. It's like you achieve one thing and then you grow into something else. And that's the way everybody is. Once you start getting in this healing ministry and you start growing in it, and the Lord will start spreading your knowledge through the Word of God, through, you know, other ministers that work in different offices of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to say, a lot of people say, well, you know, this is a great anointing. It comes along and it hits you. It's the Holy Spirit, folks. The Holy Spirit does all of this. He's the power. He's the complete power of everything. It's just he has all this in him. But it takes keys to open all of these things in him. And, you know, a lot of people run into the anointing, and we do say that at times. He's anointed. It's just that the Holy Spirit is actually brought out of this person. It's working through this person extremely well. And that's one thing that I think the power of love does. It actually shows you the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you is actually coming outside. You're still staying inside of you and staying locked up in a jail cell. He's actually coming out of you. And the kingdom is coming out of you, and you're revealing the kingdom to people. Like when Jesus would walk down the street, he said, the kingdom is amongst you. He didn't say the kingdom is beside me and locked up in a jail. He said, the kingdom is amongst you. And when you said the kingdom of God is amongst you, then all heck broke loose. People started getting healed, you know. The lame started getting healed, you know. The cripples started getting healed because he was representing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was reflecting through him. And he said, we will do the same as well, and even more than he did. So we're supposed to be representing the kingdom. And this is what this seminar is all about, is represent the kingdom, letting the kingdom reflect through us. And that's what we should do every day. But one thing that I really saw that Mike and a lot of people were talking about was, I'm scared that this and this, you know, this, that I might look like, might look crazy or something doing this. The one key in doing this is to get rid of ourselves. We are the problem where God can't work through us. We step in, we worry about what people think, and when we do that, we put up a wall. That barrier is hard for God to fit through. I mean, he could bust through it, but he ain't going to mess with our free will. Free will is a gift that God gave every human being, and he will not mess with free will. And a lot of people want God to come running through like a bull and break through it, but he, by him being God and by what he gave us, he will not mess with our free will. If our will is not for him to use us the way we need to be used, he will not do it. But when our will is open to him and we allow him to do it, he will do tremendous miracles through you and really use you for the will that he wants to use you for. But you have to use your will and open it and allow him to use you. But once you put up a block, like, you know, John might think I'm a fool now. And like I told Chuck last night, I talked to him on the phone. I said, well, everybody at work thinks I'm crazy. So, you know, that's just normal. I'm a crazy Christian, man. I have a supernatural life. I love this stuff. And if they don't like it, so be it, you know. But it gets weird sometimes. But it's, you know, it's just the Lord revealed himself through us. And I know Chris, he lives a supernatural lifestyle. And he loves his lifestyle, don't you, Chris?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. It ain't nothing like it, man. It ain't nothing like it. And
Well, Stan, we were listening to Bill Johnson on YouTube the other night, and he's the pastor out at the Bethel Church in Reading that are kind of launched this whole street ministry thing in America. I would say they're one of the pioneers. But anyway, we were listening to him the other night, and he was saying the same thing. It's like the Holy Spirit is supposed to flow from you like a river, and most people think of it as a lake, you know. The water doesn't move, it stays inside. And the Holy Spirit really isn't here for us. It's here for us to use to bless others. You know, that 80% that doesn't know the Lord yet. And the main thing we have to do, we don't have to work it up. We don't have to like study and keep improving until finally God is able to use us. It's just the opposite. This is what I've learned, the opposite. We have to just get out of the way. You know, it's so easy to do if we just get out of the way and stop thinking about it so much and just let God use us. You know, it's about humbling yourself and giving yourself, you know, giving your life to Jesus and just letting him use you. So if you start praying for opportunities every time, you know, they're basically saying you don't have to go out with the intent purpose of going out and doing street ministry. Just live your life. But every person you see in front of you, that's the one you minister to, you know. It's not like you have to pray for a word. Like, who should I see today? Oh, some lady in a sweater, you know, down at this store or whatever. That's fine, and they didn't say anything was wrong with that. But meanwhile, until you find that lady, you've passed 1,000 people trying to find this lady that God gave you a word for. And Todd White's message was your mission field is every person who's in front of your face. That person in front of your face is the person you need to love on. You know, and it could just be a simple word of encouragement for this one. This one over here is in a wheelchair. This one over here is feeling depressed. But just as you go through your day, just make it a lifestyle. I mean, their whole thing was not treating this as a side ministry, like, you know, well, I do youth group and I'm in the choir and I go out and do street ministry once a week. No, it's about making it a lifestyle. And that's the transformation that we're all trying to make. And we're all somewhere on that journey. Like, for me, it's just the beginning. And, like, I feel like now God is giving me about 10 opportunities a day, and I might be taking advantage of one of those. And the other 9 I'm not comfortable with, and I'm letting them pass, and I'm kind of like, oh, man, I should have taken advantage of that. But I feel like, well, okay, I'm doing 1 out of 10. That's better than 0. And I'm going to work on 2 out of 10, then 3 out of 10. I'm going to get up to the point where I can be like Todd White, and every one of his days is an adventure because he goes from one to another to the other to the other, and And he says it's not striving. He's just resting in the Lord, and it's just happening. It's not hard.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. And I think we tend to make
it
too difficult. You know, I think that movie you recommended, Stan, the other day, called Paid in Full, by Art Thomas. Amazing
yeah.
movie. And they talked about that. Just, you know, it's we tend to think of, like, the healing ministry as the top of the pinnacle. Like, when you've attained, you know, this great amount of faith and this great amount of knowledge of the Word, and, you know, maybe you'll start to see some of that. And it's really just the opposite. We just have to get out of the way and let the Lord flow through us. And what our job is to step out in faith and to lay hands on someone and let the Lord flow through us. And that's hard enough job right there. But that's all he
yeah.
asks us to do. You know, he asks us to take that next step and the person in front of you and even just ask them, is there something I could pray for you? Or, you know, just give them a word of encouragement. But just once you step out, then the Lord will meet you there. You know, but before,
amen.
We would have just gone through our day. Like, I'm the kind of guy that when I go to the store or something, man, I just want to get there and get home, or, you know, I don't want to take the time. And you have to see all that as a journey. And that's really your mission field. And you're going to get something at Lowe's or Home Depot is, you know, that's not the goal. The goal is the people you're going to run into along the way. So it's kind of a whole different way of thinking that was new for me. And I've been trying to practice that since we've gotten back from the conference, and I've had a lot of testimonies happen since then, but I feel like I'm still missing a lot of opportunities that the Lord is showing me. And it's just a matter of,
yeah.
you know, continuing to improve in that area. Right? Like you said, grow in those gifts.
Yeah, grow in them. Now Chris, kind of shine a light on a little bit your supernatural lifestyle that you live in.
Man, I just try to just hear the Lord, really. I mean, like, I just try to just dialogue with the Lord all throughout life. And I've realized that, man, it's just exciting walking with him, you know. And he'll show you things, and you just get hungrier and hungrier because, I mean, he leads you in so many different ways. Like, I mean, just impressions and intuitions, and, I mean, like, when your sensitivity to him just, it's ever increasing, man. And, I mean, it's like he's always got more to teach you and show you. And it just blows your mind because sometimes you'll expect to hear him one way and he'll speak another way. And it's just him showing you that he's God and, like, expanding your ability to receive from him. You know, and I mean, when you think about him being all in all, it's like I remember a minister saying one time that he was wanting to share on speaking, how does God speak? And the Lord told him, any way I want to. You know, it was just pretty funny to me because, I mean, that's really the truth. But, I mean, the cool thing is that we have the Word of God, and that's always God speaking to you. You know, so that's the very foundation for how he does it. You know, and, I mean, I don't know that he's spoken to me a way probably other than, like, he spoke to me through movies and songs and stuff like that. And just, I mean, you can tell because the impact that it has when it hits you, you know. And it's just incredible. But I think the more that you learn to be obedient to his voice, it's like in that obedience it does something. Because I think he so loves it when you're obedient to him. He said the willing and the obedient will eat the good of the land. And, I mean, like, I just look at that like it's a promise that blessings coming, you know. And his, I mean, all through the Word it says, it talks about his abundance and Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. And I think it's so important to just connect your mind and just, like, discipline yourself in the area of thinking so that your mind is transformed to the point that you're constantly connected with him. You know, and there is a discipline and your part to play in the relationship. And I think it's just showing him that you love him when you're disciplining yourself and you're kind of
I call it consecration and dedication and consecration, but really that's really spiritual sounding. You know, to me, it's just a matter of loving him. And because you love him and you want to do right by him, you know, and it's like your heart just connects and it just enables you to flow with him better. And it's a transformation of the mind. But it shows you the importance of your mind being like just a place. Because when you get to that place where you can connect with him at any given second, because you live in a natural world, and you're gonna deal with things naturally, and I mean you're gonna step in and out of the spirit. You know what I mean? It's just life.
Amen.
You know, but the thing is, the more that you can know how to be in the spirit, I mean, it's at hand. You can do it immediately like that. You know, so it's like when you get to that place where you're so confident in his voice and you're so disciplined in the area of casting down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of the Lord, that he can use you in mighty ways. And, I mean, that's all intimacy. It's all walking with him. It's all knowing him, you know. And I mean, I know you can get away. You can still move in the power and stuff like that and the anointing and the mantles and gifts and stuff like that he gives out and kind of get away from it some. And that's dangerous. But if you always keep your motives on knowing God and on growing with God and on satisfying him and really just enjoying him, you know, and enjoying life, because he really wants you to have the best of both worlds. And the more you do that, I mean, he sets signs and wonders and miracles and prophecy and visions and all that stuff's gonna happen because all that is in him, you know. And that's why I encourage you, like when you read the word, to talk to him, dialect with him through it, you know, communicate with him. It's just talking, man, just like we're doing right now, because he's not like so holy, you know. You got to talk to him in the King James. Oh, this is the Lord. I mean, just be real.
Yeah,
you got
to talk to him in the King James version, huh?
Yeah, like any version, really. The more that you're just absolutely real with him, I mean, man, I've noticed in my life that when I'm real with him, I mean, he'll start revealing and manifesting himself to you, because you're not trying to be this persona of Christianity or whatever. You're just being real. And, like, his heart, I mean, man, there's been times where I've been so just really pissed off at somebody, and I start talking to the Lord, and he just absolutely puts, I mean, like, I can feel his heart for that person. And he, the more I talk to him about it, it's like, man, I sat there and went, I mean, this guy had me so mad one time, and I started talking to him about it, and the passion of the Lord started rising up through me. I don't know how to explain that. I just know that God's heart, like, I felt it all the way through me, and I was crying like a baby, man. I mean, like, I went to crying like a baby just talking to the Lord about this guy, because I felt God's heart for that guy. And I was like, man, it is incredible when that stuff happens. It just really is. And just the more you know him, the more it's going to happen.
Amen, amen. We're going to go right into a break, and we're going to be playing Elevate 8 Nation that was actually there at the Power and Love Conference, and they was actually going on the street praying for people, bringing them to the Lord, and they was actually there. We're going to play one of their songs. It's called Holy Spirit, and we'll be right back.
Your precious blood, Jesus, consume my life. You are my song, melody through the day and night. Your fire brings warmth, your fire's all consuming. I feel your presence moving, fire fall like Pentecost. Thinking about that blood that you shed on that cross. Holy Spirit, guide our steps, this world is lost. Let your love burn within us, heal us, refill us. Break it down to rebuild us, you're gracious, amazing. Burning fire, it's blazing, my favorite fragrance. Let your fire attract others, let the heart shine and watch it burn.
Holy Ghost, the flame of fire.
With the blood that you spilled, though, washed of our sins, bro. Holy Spirit came from heaven, blessings from the window. Fan of fire, flame when the wind blow. I think I'm in my zone, it's shut up in my bones. His word is in your mouth, it's sealed in your heart. This fire won't go out, and he has called you out. Since the Holy Spirit beside you, paraclete, kicking up dirt like a paraclete. This wasn't given to David, but given to you and me. Fire burn him, give him light, yeah, so they will see. Call me an arsonist, fire starter, start revival.
And keep your heart lit. That's within me, that it is not like you.
The Lord will tell you the truth. The Lord will reveal those wounds to you. the wounds that maybe he had a bad childhood, maybe his wife has been real mean and maybe left him, maybe, you know, he got treated real bad by somebody. Maybe he's, I mean, you don't really know the situation, but the Lord sees all this when he deals with this guy. It's just like the Lord, you know, on the cross, and he said, you know, Father, you know, forgive these folks. And after they was beating him and cussing him and all this and that, but he saw all amongst their pains. He knew why they was doing this, and that's why he had more a loving reaction to them, because they had no idea what they was doing. And that's the way us as Christians has got to look through Jesus' eyes, as he did on that cross that day when he was getting beat and being crucified. We've got to look through those eyes and have passion for those people. And sometimes when we look, when the enemy will blind you, it's kind of like there was a lady that I saw at work, and when I looked at her face, I saw a pair of glasses over her eyes. And the Lord was revealing to me that the enemy had put a veil over her eyes where she couldn't see love. She couldn't see, you know, what people was really helping her to do. She could only see the pain that she was been in all her life. And the pain that she'd been in all her life is the only thing she could see in everybody. It's like everywhere she could look, it was pain, pain, pain. So she was always at people, always disliking people and this and that. And the word, and the Lord gave me some knowledge to let her know that not everything is what the pain that she's been in through her life. And that's the one thing we've got to recognize. Maybe we've been in pain. Maybe we've been hurt. Maybe we've had a bad childhood. Maybe we've been tormented when we was, you know, by our brothers and sisters back way back, and we still hold some things towards that. But we're more than that. We're God's children. We're perfect. We're perfect in His sight. They're perfect in His sight. He don't see our faults. He don't see our terrors. He don't see our broken hearts. He sees us as perfect. And when we start seeing our brothers and sisters as that, that's when we start seeing manifestations of the Lord. We start being more helpful and loving towards people. And I'm going to tell you, this is not easy. I'm not saying this is something we're going to jump right into. It takes a process that the Lord has to put us through to see these people like that. And that's when it makes it a little bit easier for us when we go on the street and testify to people, because you fall in love, just like Todd Watt. Todd Watt said all this wasn't done at one time. You know, he cleansed him up, but it took a little bit of process, and he fell in fully in love with Jesus. When he fell fully in love with Jesus, that's when he could deal with people. And he said he got rid of himself. His self disappeared. When he got rid of himself, he says, what was it? He said, I'm done with me, so when I'm done with me, I'm done with you. So his problems, so your problems, like I said, the pain that this lady had on her from her childhood was reflecting on everybody. So the pain that Todd had on him was gone, and so it wasn't reflecting on nobody. So no matter what the other person said, it didn't bother him, because he had nothing to bounce off of. See? So when your pain disappears and you allow the blood of Jesus Christ to wash this off, that's when you change. That's when you change. You allow the Lord to go and retangle all of those ropes inside of you and let Him, you know, correct you in, on the inside. And that's one thing that the Lord, I mean, it's always a process going on with you. It ain't a done deal all the time. Sometimes it's a process. And there may be times where the Lord will do it all at one time. I mean, everybody's different. But that's when the process is there. But it was an awesome conference we went through down there. And Chuck, tell us a little bit about your ministry, man.
Well, I got a local ministry here in Lake City, South Carolina, middle of nowhere. we named it The Well, out of John chapter 4, where Jesus sat by a well and encountered a lady. We started out doing local meetings once a week. And then God moved it from that. We opened a little thrift store, which became the greatest ministry I could ever think of in my life. Now, my idea going into it was I was going to be like on Pawn Stars. I was going to be a millionaire. We'd have a weekly TV show. You know, this will be fun. But we've never really made any money there. But what we have done is encountered so many poor, homeless, smelly, just the low of the low. When Jesus said he came to preach the gospel to the poor, I get to see that on a weekly basis. And I could sit for hours and just tell you miracles and encounters. And even our normal customers, it'll come back and say, look, I don't want to buy anything. Can you guys just help me pray about something? So it's turned right now. We actually have houses where we have taken in young people who at the time were just coming out of bad situations, bad homes. We've taken people off the streets, young people. We usually dealt with high school, college age type. And right now we're just dealing with mostly the college age. And so that's basically what we do right now is our little thrift store is really the ministry.
Amen, amen. It's awesome how people, you know, how the Lord uses people like you to do these little ministries and really touch the people that needs to really be touched. And I know those people really need that ministry in your area. But one thing I want to touch on since we're talking about the power and love. Now, I'm going to go to each one of y'all. What type of miracles did y'all see on the street? Just name a few of them. I'm going to start with Chuck, since he was already talking.
First session we went out, our first outreach, we were at a restaurant, and this guy was just, me and him kept nodding at each other, and I heard in my heart back, so I walked over to him. And he was a little bit older than I was, probably in his 50s, older black man. He smiled the whole time. He had Jesus. You could tell, and I just walked over to him and asked him, I said, I keep hearing something, you know, about your back. You have back problems? And he said, yeah, I've slept on my back wrong the past few nights. And I said, where is it at? And he's like, right in the middle of my back, it's just something going on. I said, do you mind if I pray for it? He was like, man, please do. So we prayed, and he smiled. He lit up. He's like, man, thank you so much. I said, my pleasure. I just want to love on people, but I got to ask you, how's your back? And he kind of twisted a little bit. He said, man, it's perfect. And he shook my hand, hugged my neck. I was like, man, Jesus is good. And he wanted to start preaching then. So I know he's got some kind of Christianity in him. I know he's church or whatever. And so that was first day out, first outreach. We call it Miracle Instant.
Amen, amen. Now, Mike, what is something that you saw that happened in your group?
Well, we actually had a lot of different testimonies. But the one that I'm going to tell is the one, Stan, when we went to McDonald's. And hope this wasn't the one you were planning on sharing, because I'm going to steal it from you.
Go ahead, man.
But we were sitting there having lunch, and this was our second time out, so Lori and I were still kind of not knowing what to do. And sitting next to us was a girl. Maybe she looked like about 18 or 19, something like that. And she was just sitting there by herself, and we were just there talking and having a conversation amongst us, and we weren't really interacting with her at the beginning. But I saw her talking to the people behind the counter. So we later found out that she worked there at McDonald's, and she was just eating prior to going into work. So she was sitting there, and at one point she dropped something on the floor, and she got up to bend over, and I kind of said, oh, what did you drop or something? And as she bent over, she grasped her jaw and was like, ah, oh, like that. And we're all like, oh, well, what's the problem? She goes, oh, I just had my wisdom tooth taken out this morning, and I have to work this afternoon. I'm just in a lot of pain. But it's no big deal. She says, I've got my pain medication right here, and as soon as that kicks in, I'll be fine. You know, I'll be fine. And she holds up her pain medication. Well, my reaction probably would have been, oh, okay, well, that's fine. You know, can we pray for you for something? Or maybe I wouldn't have even said that. I don't know. But Stan, you know, you stepped out in faith, and you said to her, not just can we pray for you, you said, would you like that pain to go away? And she says, her first reaction was, well, yeah, it will. My pain medication, I just took it. It'll take a few hours, but it'll be fine. Don't worry, it'll be fine. And you go, no, I mean, would you like it to go away, like, right now? And she goes, like, okay, like, really suspicious, like, what in the world is this guy all about? And I thought it was interesting, Stan, because you just reached out your hand like you were going to shake hands with somebody. And instead of trying to lay hands on someone and they don't know where you're coming from, you just simply held out your hand like you were going to shake hands. And she walked over and grabbed your hand, and you just prayed a simple prayer, you know, something like, you know, be healed in Jesus' name or something like that. It was real simple. And you prayed for maybe 20 seconds. And when we got done, you said to her, how does it feel? And, you know, she looked at you really surprised. Like, she didn't expect anything to happen, like, instantly. She didn't know what was going to happen, and she didn't expect it to happen instantly. She just was probably being polite to allow us to pray, right? But the minute you said, how does it feel, her jaw dropped, and her eyes got real big, and she held the side of her face and go, oh, my gosh. She says, I've got to start praying more. That was her reaction. I've got to start praying more. So she was completely in shock. But what was so funny was when you asked her how she felt, she had this look of surprise, like, well, why would I feel any different that quickly? And then all of a sudden she realized the pain was gone. And she was just like blown away, and she was like, I better start praying more. So that was an awesome, like, instantaneous healing. And it was all because, Stan, you stepped out in faith and didn't just say, can we pray for you? You were bold enough to say, would you like that to go away right now? So I thought that was pretty awesome.
And I found that out with some of the things when you move the prayer and all that out. And what I've kind of learned is try to let them get healed and then show them Jesus. Say, Jesus did that. And it's an awesome way to approach without them thinking you're throwing them in your religion or trying to drag them to your church. And it's kind of open there. And you know, with what I saw a lot of other things. I saw some of the things that you saw, but I went out with some other people. One of the things that I saw was when I was took to Walmart to the audio area, and there's a little boy there. He's about 12 years old. We called him our bulldog because he'd drag us to events for healing. He'd be like, the Lord's telling us to go over here and there and, you know, all that stuff. And anyway, him and this other guy dragged me to Walmart, and I ended up in an aisle beside of the tax software, and said some guy's supposed to show up there. So I was sitting there in the hallway there, close to all this audio stuff, and I was waiting. I walked away for a minute. I walked right back, and here was a guy and his son. And I said, this here must be the guy. So I went up to him. I said, do you have any pain? He's like, yeah, I've had back surgeries many times with over 20 years, and I hurt now. I said, so you can tell me if any pain would leave if I pray for you. He's like, sure. I prayed, and it all left. And tears hit his eyes, and I was like, man, that was cool, you know. So it was pretty cool. I gave him a track, you know, to lead him to Christ and all that. And he didn't seem like he was wanting to pray a whole lot. He was just stuck in the moment, I'll say that. And it really opened his eyes to Christ. And sometimes, I mean, a lot of people say don't hand out tracks and this and that. But one of the tracks that I use is one that a lot of my friends use, and it's a real strong track. And, you know, when they're open and ready to read it, they can, and it'll lead them to Christ. Or I can do it right then, but I didn't think at that moment, you know, that I would be successful in that. So I just left that with him. So it's awesome to see these things happen. And there was many stories like that there. There's people getting healed in the conference, and I saw a guy get healed right there close to the stage the first night. This guy had back, or his lady had back problems, and everybody was praying. And but right before she left, everything was healed. And I saw a lady have her leg healed, and we prayed and prayed, and things wasn't happening. And the Lord told me something about she had unforgiveness, and she let the unforgiveness go, and all of a sudden her ankle started getting healed. And what was so unique about her was that she didn't know what unforgiveness was. And within 5 minutes, the Lord pulled it out of her heart and revealed it to her. It was of a church that treated her wrong. It was a church that treated her wrong. And she let it go and asked for forgiveness for it and let it flow out. And then she started manifesting healing. It wasn't that the Lord was holding that back from her. It's that she was, that door of the enemy was open. The enemy was using that door to manifest pains and demons to come into her to cause her bad health in different situations. And when we closed that door and she got rid of that door, it kept the enemy from coming in her more. And then it was more open for her healing to manifest on her. So we saw that healing, and it was all type of things going on there. It was so many things you couldn't really comprehend at the time, but I know that the people on the street of Wilmington really got touched, and the Lord really revealed his hand and his face to people that weekend. And I'd like to say thank you to everybody who was on here today. I want to say thank you to Mike. Thanks for coming on here with me and telling us about your testimonies and some of the things that you experienced. I want to say thanks to Chuck for him coming on here and giving his testimony and about his ministry and stuff. And always thanks to Chris and him being a co-host and coming and helping. And
privilege.
May God, yeah. And may God bless every one of y'all and touch y'all this week and really manifest his presence upon every one of you and just open your eyes more to his glory each and every day. And I I'm just feeling a Thursday of the week is coming. He's gonna reveal himself all through this week, but Thursday is gonna be a major day for some of y'all, and he's gonna really reveal his presence even strongly on a Thursday, and your eyes are gonna be blowed open. And I say so it is. What the Lord showed me, I say so it is, and it's gonna manifest for y'all. But anybody out there, right fast, I just want you to put your hand where the pain is that you have on your body. Just put your hand right there where that pain is right now. Just give me a little bit of time. Just put your hand where pain is. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to remove all the pain from anybody's listening to this show anywhere. Remove the pain from them now in Jesus' name. I ask you to remove the pain 100%. Spirit of pain and infirmity, I curse and bind you. I command you to break loose now in Jesus' name. I bind and curse you, and I tell you to leave and go to the pit and never return in Jesus' name. I command you to leave their chest, leave their leg, leave their arms, leave their head, leave their neck, leave their back, wherever it may be. I command it to break loose now. Never return in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the audience. Thank you, Father, for all these people who are listening. I ask you to bless them and bring your presence upon them in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, anybody that just done this, I ask you just to test it. So that's what activates your healing, is the testing of it. Because in the Bible, the Lord always asks people to test their healing, to move, stand up. So just test that. And if you get a healing happens, I ask you just go to the Healing Life page and just post what happened to you. And I really appreciate that. And I do offer everybody to go to the Healing Life page and like the page. If you're on Blog Talk listening to this, I ask you to follow the page and let us know that you're listening. It kind of encourages us to do a lot more shows and do a lot of things with this, and I really appreciate that. And I'd like to say thanks for everybody for listening to this show today. And, you know, check out the show Wednesday. Me and Robert Haggard and Chris Crutchfield will be preaching the Word of God on here, as we do all the time, but especially on Wednesdays. We don't do a lot of interviews on Wednesday. We basically just preach. So we welcome you to listen to us Wednesday at 8 p.m. God bless every one of y'all, and we'll see you Wednesday.
We have raised 1,000 voices just to lift your holy name, and we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When none can even fathom, no, not one define your worth, as we marvel in your presence to the ends of the earth.
Glory, lifted up my voice. deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms, a fortress for the